Our Bibles to Psalms chapter 126. Psalms 126. I want to show y'all something this morning. JP, would you stand up just real fast? Just stand up here. See how nice he looks. Now look at his son right there. Stand up, JP. I want you to turn around and look at the crowd. They're running a sale on them shirts and they both bought one. I just want you, all right, you can sit down. You can sit down. Woo! They look good, don't they? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. What'd you know? Jay says Big J, and that's Little J. So that was good. Jacob says, whatever you do, don't say anything about it. And I said, I won't. Not till you. He said, I didn't know he got the same shirt as me. He said, oh, whatever you do, don't say nothing about it. I wish I hadn't done that. Now I got myself tickled. Now I have to look at both of them. All right, let's open this morning. Let's start again, Brother Dan. Let's open this morning to Psalms 126. Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Scripture says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. God's people need to laugh every now and again, and it's a good, healthy medicine for people. If you come to Elizabeth, you best have a sense of humor, because we like to laugh. I think it's good for God's people to laugh. Good for your health, too, if you do a little study on it. Psalms 126 and verse 6 says this, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's read it one more time. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that we have this great privilege to preach. And Lord, we're thankful for these people gathered this morning to worship you. And Father, we pray that you grant the unction of the Spirit of God today in this meeting. And Father, we pray that perhaps somebody be saved here today. It would be an awesome thing to see someone trust Jesus today in this meeting. And Lord, we pray for your people. We pray that you'd help us to worship you and serve you with our lives. And do that in our lives, that which is well-pleasing in our sight, in your sight. Also pray for this evening's message, Lord, that you bring back folks to that as we do this study through the book of Revelation. Pray your blessing on it and on the radio broadcast tomorrow also. Pray your blessings on it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And what we're going to do is we're going to title this message, Bringing in the Sheaves. Bringing in the Sheaves. Y'all remember that old hymn? Probably a lot of you don't. If you had the old green hymn book, it had Bringing in the Sheaves in it. And like I said, it's an old hymn. I love it. But Bringing in the Sheaves is like bringing in the harvest, is what it's talking about. Bringing in the harvest. And one of the things that a church looks for, prays for, should anyhow, is to have a harvest of souls. I look for that. I pray for that. I long for that. We want to see people saved here. We want to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus here. And what I'm going to do today in this message entitled Bringing in the Sheaves, what I'm going to do is give you three keys to a harvest of souls. Three keys to a harvest of souls. Lord's churches can never lose vision of the salvation of the sinner. You must be careful that we not do that. Sometimes I think we grow cold and indifferent and we forget about what the main things are. You always got to keep the main things in a church. But the main thing in a church, the main things, is to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And then those that get saved, those the Lord saves, those that become disciples, then they need to have the ordinance administered to them. They need to be baptized and added, and then they need to be taught the Scriptures. The church is to be a teaching place, not an entertainment center. God's house is about God's Word. All God's people say it. The Bible, the church in the book of Timothy is called the pillar and the ground of the truth. It means it holds up the truth. You should be able to come to God's house and hear God's Word when you come there. And God, the Holy Spirit, uses His Word to save souls and to cause His people to grow. Three keys to a harvest of souls. Are you still in Psalms 26 and verse 6? Notice what the first key is in this particular text. There must be a going forth. You know, see, it says in verse 6, he that goeth forth. He that goeth forth. We got signs in the back when you come in. When you come in our sanctuary back there, as you come in, it says you enter, you enter to worship. And then when you leave, you see another sign and it says you leave to serve. Enter to worship and then you leave to do what? You leave to serve. One of the names for God's people in the Bible is that we are called servants. That's what we are. We're disciples, we're followers, we're called Christians, but the most popular name, I think, in the Bible, Old New Testament, will be a servant. Whenever different people of God were described, God will say, my servant Job. You remember when he called Jesus, he said, my servant Job, or my servant Moses. I think one of the highest honors this side of glory is to be called a servant of the Most High God. But when you call yourself a servant, what does that mean you do? You serve. There's a lot of people claim to be servants and not serving. Now, God wants His people to serve. And I want to tell you something else. We're accountable for that service. There'll be a day that we give a reckoning for what we've done with the time that He gave us here. We'll give a reckoning for what we did with what God gave us. We'll give a reckoning for that. We'll give a reckoning for what we've done with the talent that He gave us. We're to use what He gave us for His glory, so we're to be servants of God. And one of the things the servants of God seek to do is we seek souls. We seek souls. Now, it's just not a few people in a church that's supposed to be seeking souls. Everybody here that's a member of the church, everybody here that's born again, you should be a seeker of souls. That should be one of the main things on your mind, and one of the main things in your life is that you should be a seeker of what again? A seeker of souls. That's one of the primary functions of a New Testament church, is to make disciples. And one of the ways we make disciples, of course, is by spreading the gospel, but we seek souls. All God's people said, we need to seek them harder in 2017. That needs to be one of the top things in our mind. I get worried sometimes that we don't think much about the salvation of the sinner. I do. It bothers me. I wonder about that kind of thing. One of the things that I pray every day of my life is that, Lord, I want to open me a door of utterance. It'll open me a door of utterance that I may share Jesus with somebody here today. We got the message. We got the gospel message, which is the power of God to salvation. We need to share it. I'm telling you, beloved, people talk more about a ball game than they do about Jesus. They'll talk about more about current news out here somewhere than they do about Jesus. And I'm telling you what, the main thing in a Christian's conversation should be their master. What you talk about is what you talk about the most is what you care about the most. What you talk about the most is what you care about the most. Well, if you're going to have a harvest of souls, beloved, there must be a going forth. He that goeth forth and weepeth. See, there's a going forth. Well, I think the way a church should do this thing is each one of us has different places you work. You've got different places you go to school. We all have different families. I mean, a lot of us are family, don't get me wrong. But we all have our immediate family, and then we have our cousins, our aunts and uncles. We all have our families. And I think what we seek to do, and this is what I've always sought to do, and here's what I call it. I seek to work my fields of contact. I seek to work it. When I worked at Russell Stanley, when I worked a secular job, I considered that my field there. Did you hear what I just said? I considered it my field. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to sow that field. I wanted to sow it. I wanted to take that gospel message. I know there's lost men there. And I wanted to sow my field of contact there. Because I was there. Well, I'm not at your... I'm not where you're working at now, am I? I mean, you're working there. And that's also your field of contact. You seek to share Jesus with people while you're there. All God's people say, now you don't do that while you're supposed to be working. You work, but the Lord will put you into contact people at where you work at that He means for you to tell about Jesus. You work your place of work. You work there physically, but you also work to get the gospel out. That's a field of contact. That's a field of contact for God's people. How about your school? Man, we need Christian young people in the school, don't we? And we need them not only, we don't need them not only to go to church, which our young people do, but that school that you go to is also a field of contact. And that's your field, see? That's your field. And what are you supposed to do to your field? You sow it. You plant that seed there. You sow it. You tell people about Christ, see? So, there must be a going. There must be a going forth. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I feel heavy about this thing today, beloved. I do. I want us to be on fire to seek to win souls. That's what a church is supposed to do, beloved. We're supposed to, we got the message. We got the gospel. It's what we say and we do. And they need to hear it from us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I believe this. And much you notice verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you want to have a harvest, beloved, you got to sow seed. That's just all there is to it. If you want to have a bunch of tomatoes, you got to plant more than one plant. You know that, don't you, JP? You got to plant. If you want to have a whole bushel or a whole bunch of tomatoes, you got to plant more than one plant. And it says if you sow sparingly, then you reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll also reap bountifully. Well, that means what? That means we need to be sowing a lot of seed. And that's everybody here today that's born again, that's trusted Jesus. That's all of our job. That should be forefront on our man. I used to drive to work, still do it today. But I would say, Lord, as I go out today, open me a door of utterance. Open me a door of utterance. Open me an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody today. And what that'll do for you is when you pray a prayer like that, that's like flipping on a switch. And that puts you on high alert. A lot of times you're not on high alert. I don't know. Now, let me tell you a little something. I've been praying a bunch. I really have. And I like to walk out Plymouth and pray. And you know, when I'm out praying, guess what I don't want to be? I don't want to be bothered when I'm praying. Well, you know what the Lord kept doing? Every time I'd walk out Plymouth, there's some man would come by and stop me and want to talk. And I went, man, I don't want to talk to you. I said in my mind, I don't want to talk to you. I'm trying to pray. And you know, finally, after about three or four times of that happening, I kind of figured out, you know, the Lord might be sending me somebody out here to witness to. And the next one to come was on a bicycle. And not only did he start talking to me, but he got down off the bicycle and started pushing the bicycle beside of me. And I'm like, oh, my. And then it hit me. Goofy, don't you think the Lord sending these people out here for you to talk to? What perfect place. There ain't nobody else around. You can be focused on them. But I wasn't looking for it. And that's the problem. Many times, have that ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you? Maybe you was on a job or a school or you was somewhere and you got home and someone has been talking to you. And then when you was driving down the road, you went, oh, my, I missed it. Right there it was. And I did what? I missed it. Well, when you go forth and you're praying for the opportunity to present the gospel, that puts you on alert. And then you're looking for it. Let me give you some of the ways that we present the gospel, or some of the ways we seek to reach souls. Are you ready? Number one, by supporting. We seek to reach souls by supporting. And by supporting, what I'm talking about is we support things that spread the gospel. For instance, we support missionaries. We are a missionary Baptist church. What does that mean? We support missionaries that takes the message into a lost and dying world. Now, I can't go to Brazil or Peru or all that. The Lord's not called me there. But God calls people there. And what He wants them to do and for them to go, there has to be people that pay for them to go. That is what, again? That is support. So, one of the ways that, in order to see a harvest, some of the ways that we sow is by supporting avenues that spreads the gospel. Another way is by, you know, we have a radio broadcast, don't we? It goes in 3 states. The church pays for that. The church pays for that. And that, you might not be the one preaching the message. You might not be the one that puts it on the radio. But if you help pay for it, that helps it do what? That helps it go out. So we have a radio broadcast. It goes into what, how many? 3 states. It's hard to say how many people every given Monday it gets to hear a message about salvation. It's hard to say how many were saved. I remember one time, this has been years back, there was a fellow that was working and he had his radio on in his car and he was working on the telephone lines, some power lines or something, and he had his radio on and he was listening to a broadcast, and guess whose broadcast it was? It was a broadcast that came out of here and the Lord saved him while he was out on his job. Well, the reason why that on there is there's a group of 20 people that pay $25 a month so that that can go forth. They're ministering seed to the sower. They're ministering seed by support is the way you do it. Our internet ministry is not as expensive as radio. But the internet ministry reaches an average of people. I mean, just far as downloaded sermons, an average of 2,000 a month. That costs money. Not a lot of money, but you help go forth and sow seed by supporting things that do. Number two, you need to work your fields of contact. I talked about this at the beginning. At your workplace, at your family and your friends. And that's you, and not only that, you also need to seek those that stop coming too. That's all work. We seek to win folk back. There needs to be labor in all of these types of things. But all this is sowing, seed. How about by invitations? You know, you say, well, it's hard for me to start at Romans 3 and do the Romans Road. But you know, there's been a lot of people saved because someone invited them to church. David Isner's thing is, hey, why don't you go to church with me Sunday? He does that constantly. People, perfect strangers. Perfect strangers. And you know why he does that? You know why David does that, really? Because there was a guy that they were out, I believe they were out shooting guns together. There was a guy that looked at him and said, why don't you go to church with me Sunday? And you know what happened? David Isner came to church, and guess what happened? The Lord saved him. He heard a message. The Holy Spirit touched his heart. You invite people to come. I've used this old girl as an example a lot, and I'm going to use her again. But the woman at the well hadn't been saved 5 minutes. Nobody would have wanted nothing to do with her. I think she'd been married 5 times and was living with a man whenever Jesus met her at the well. I mean, she wasn't a godly woman. She was an ungodly woman. But buddy, Jesus had time for her. Jesus had time for her. He sent his disciples into the city and he witnessed to this one heathen woman. No one would have wanted nothing to do with her or even been seen with her. But the Master, the King of Glory, sat there on that well and waited on her to come. Waited on her to come. And you know what? He asked her to give him drink. Now think about this. He asked her to give him what? Give him drink. And you'll remember that she noticed that he didn't have anything to draw with. Did y'all know? He didn't have nothing to draw with. But you know who had something to draw with? She did. That means he was willing to drink from her vessel. There would have been nobody that wanted to do with drinking out of her vessel. But the Master said, give me drink. Amen. And then from there, he taught that woman about living water. He taught that woman about eternal life. And you know, she said, she knew a little bit about the Bible, but she said, you know, we have heard that the Messiah would come. we had heard that the Messiah would come. You know what happened? You know what happened? Jesus said, "I that speak to you, I'm He." Remember what she did? She dropped her water pot. She forgot about water because she just received living water. And she ran it. Do you remember what she did again? She ran into town. She didn't have a degree in theology. She hadn't been saved 5 minutes. Listen, she hadn't been saved 5 minutes. And she went in. She went into that Samaritan town and said, "What? Come and see the man which told me everything whichever I did." And you know what the Bible says? The whole community turned out. Does anybody know why they turned out? Somebody shouted. She invited them. She asked them to come. I thought about the disciples. You know, they went in to get something to eat. Their focus was on eating. Their focus was on getting their bellies full. Her focus was different. She went in, not being saved 5 minutes, not knowing not much about spiritual things. She went in and just said, "I want you to come and hear Him. I just want you to come and just come on out, and I want you to hear this man." And they did. And many of the people of Samaria, which was a heathen place to the Jews, many of them believed. Well, there must be a going forth. There must be a going forth. And every one of us here today that's born again, we need to be seeking souls, seeking souls. Last of all, just under this point, and I'm not quitting yet. You go forth by supporting. You go forth by working your fields of contact. You go forth by invitations. But I want to share one more thing with you. You also go forth by living it. You also go forth by living it. Book of Matthew, chapter 5, and the verse 16, I believe it is. Let's go. I want to give you this. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 16, I think. Now, Matthew 5. I ain't got my old Bible. Have I told y'all about that? Verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father." Now, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. You can't be a witness for the Lord and live like the devil. Nobody's going to listen to you anyhow. You can't be a witness for Jesus and live like the devil. You just can't do it. I want to live good, and I'm not seeking to live righteous to try to earn salvation. I'm saved. What Jesus did on Calvary by dying is what saved me. But I want to live it because I'm His ambassador. That's one of the highest honors in the world, to be an ambassador of Jesus. You see, this old world ain't my home anyhow. This ain't my home. This is a temporary place that I'm in just for a little bit. My home's a Father's house. That's where my home's at. So I'm just going to be here for just a little while, but while I'm here, I'm an ambassador for Jesus. That means I represent Him. I represent Him wherever I go, just not in church. I represent Him outside of church too. When you're an ambassador is someone from another nation that represents their country to another nation. Mind, you can't be a witness if you live like the devil. Nobody's going to listen to you. And I'm going to tell you one of the problems in America today is the brand of Christian today ain't living it. You got to live it if you're going to be a witness. They got to see a difference in you. Hey, I've worked at jobs where there's hypocrites at over the years, but I'm telling you, when that sinner man wants to know something about Jesus, they don't go to the hypocrite. They go to the one that they see live the life. All God's people said. They don't go to the one that don't live it. They want to go to the one that they see as a change in them. And you're the same way. We need to live it. If you're going to be a witness, you got to live it. You got to live it. All right, let's move on to the second point. Number two. We're talking about keys. Three keys to a harvest of souls. The first key is there's got to be a going forth. Everybody got that? Got to be a going forth. We're leaving out of here today, and we should be seeking souls. So it's hard for me to witness. Ask them to come. You can give them a CD. You get a message you like. It's got a good gospel message. Get your CD and give it to folk. You can do that. You can give it to them. You can invite them to listen to the radio broadcast. There's people saved that way, and I'll give you an example of it. But there needs to be a going forth. I'm telling you, if a church loses vision of the salvation of the sinner, it will die. You never can become satisfied on your past performances. You've got to constantly keep moving forward. Constantly moving forward. And that means we need all of our people to seek souls. Seek them. And that begins every morning with a prayer. Lord, as I go to work or as I go to school, give me a door of utterance to share Jesus with somebody who's lost. Won't you do that? Number two, let's go back to Psalms 126. I'm going to have to pick up the pace a little bit. I'm serious, beloved. I'm serious about what I'm saying. I want you to get it down in your heart. You say, why are you doing this? God's people ain't witnessing. Let me say it one more time. God's people ain't witnessing. And I'm not talking about our church, but I'm talking about as a whole. It's not on people's minds. They're not praying for it. They're not looking for it. And that's something we need to change. Don't y'all think? That's something that needs to change. Number two, there must be weeping. You see here in 120, he that goeth, there must be a going forth, verse 6, there must be a going forth. He that goeth forth, then he does what? He weepeth. What's the weeping for? It's a compassion for souls. It's a compassion for souls. Do you ever weep for somebody that's lost? I ain't going to ask for a show of hands. I don't want to embarrass nobody, but I mean, do you ever shed tears over a lost man? Do you ever shed tears over a lost family member? Ever do it? Now, if you've dried up to where you don't do that, you need to change that. There needs to be a compassion in your heart for lost people, especially people in your family. There needs to be a compassion for souls. That's why it says, he that goeth forth and does what? Weepeth. He that goeth forth and weepeth. They're weeping. They're concerned about their loss in their family. They're concerned about their friends. And their heart's desire is so great that it literally brings them to tears when they think about their soul. When you're praying for a lost, especially a lost, listen, especially when you're praying for a lost family member, man, it brings out a wet prayer from you. Well, you want to see them saved. You want to see them come back. Or maybe somebody that's drifted, you want to see them come back. And you pray that way. And many times it's wet prayers. I cry sometimes when I walk out Plymouth praying. I'm just hoping no big hunter goes walking by me with a gun. What's he crying for, you know? But I weep for folks. I weep for sinners. And I weep for those that... I weep for the sick. I weep for those that's drifted. I weep for people. I do that. I hope you do too. He that goeth forth and does what? And weepeth, bearing precious seed. Every day of your life, Colossians 4:3, you need to pray for utterance. Colossians 4:3, pray for a door of utterance. But you also need to, when you're praying for a door of utterance, you're looking for a door of utterance. So there needs to be weeping. There needs to be a going forth, and there needs to be what else? Weeping. I think God's people's got too cold. Especially about souls. I think we need to be broken to where we have a compassion for souls. Where that's on our mind. Or at least we're praying. And inviting and seeking to get the word to them. So there needs to be a sense of what? A sense of urgency on the part of God's people. Must be weeping. Number three, there must be precious seed. Look back at our verse. He that goes forth, or see, there's a going forth. Circle that. There's a going forth. Who carries the message? Why did the Lord start the church? He started the church to make disciples, baptize, and teach. But at number one is making disciples. Number one on the list, anyhow. And we do that because we have the gospel. We got the message that changes. We got the life-giving message, and that needs to be forefront on our mind. So, there's a going forth, there's a weeping, and then there's a bearing of precious seed. Bearing precious seed. What is the precious seed? It's the gospel. It's the gospel message. It's the seed of the new birth, Larry. It's the seed of the new birth. And you know what? If you want to have a harvest, what do you have to do again? Go back to the very beginning. If you want to have a harvest, what do you got to do? You got to sow seed. And you can't plant one tomato plant if you want a whole bunch of tomatoes. You got to sow a lot of seed. Now, our job's to sow. You remember Paul said it. I've planted. Listen to it. Paul said, I planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. I think that's 1 Corinthians 3:6. I did what? I plant. And maybe Paul went to certain places and he planted the seed there, but maybe nothing happened. Guess what? Who come behind him? Apollos come behind him. And he did what? He watered. But who gives the increase? God does. Who gets the glory for the salvation? God does. But what do we do? What do we do? We plant. We'll tell somebody about Jesus. And then what else we do? We'll come back and bring a little water on that thing. Plant a little, put a little more water on it. Tell them about it again. I've witnessed to some people for years, man. Some people for years, and I'm like, man, this is hopeless. Well, he don't call you to bring the increase. Amen. That's right. He just calls you to plant and water. You do your job. He'll take care of his. The problem is, we ain't planting and watering. We ain't planting and watering. It's not on our minds. So many other things is on our minds other than planting and watering. What's the most important thing for the servants of God after? What is the most important thing for God's people after they're born again? What is the most important thing? Service. And one part of that service is seeking souls. Soul winners. Those apostles there in Acts chapter 1. Poor Simon Peter, 50 days earlier, denied Jesus 3 times. Denied that he was one of his disciples, Simon Peter did. After saying, I'll never deny you, though all will, I'll never will. Remember that? And buddy, I think Simon Peter, if you'll remember in the Gospel of John, he went back fishing. That's what he did before the Lord called him to preach. He just fell so hard, I just think he felt so bad over it, he's ready to quit. Do you know what happened in Acts chapter 2? The Feast of Pentecost. That man that denied in front of a young girl stood up on the temple steps. And he preaches a message. And 3,000 people were saved. That old fisherman from Galilee, that man that denied and failed so hard, he got back up and got back into work. And he preached the gospel to all them Jews there that day. Wouldn't that have been intimidating? At the temple, preached to all of them. 3,000. 3,000 people were saved. He had the precious seed. He planted the precious seed. Well, that's what we need in order to have a harvest, beloved. We need to go forth. There needs to be weeping, that's compassion. And we must bear the precious seed. We've got to take it to them. And what I'm going to do today is we're going to close here in just a minute with a word of prayer. I'm going to quit. But I'm going to ask you to pray about this thing and help us to be more. I'm just going to ask you to pray. Lord, help me to have a compassion for souls. Ask the Lord to give you a burden. But also ask the Lord to every day of your life when you're going to work. I used to do it when we went to Russell Stanley. I said, Lord, open me a door of utterance to share Jesus with somebody. There's one right there, Brian. There's another one right there. I can't call you Terry. Stewie. There's another one right there. There's others. These are my co-workers. I love these two. They're like brothers to me. They are brothers. They are brothers. But I had a compassion. You need it too. All God's people say. Let's all stand. Thank you.